Back together again, you and I chatting it up Wednesday style, midweek, July the 15th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. I wondered if the state should eventually consider a buyout of Eversource and or UI to set up a nonprofit power company for Connecticut consumers. Dan Haar also dropped by from Hearst Connecticut Media to discuss all the big statewide stories as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. How is everyone today? I hope you're good, good, good. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Well, I'm telling you, it's not going to end. It's not going to end. It's not going to end. No matter which syllable you you emphasize here in the sentences of what I'm about to get into, it's true. It's not going to end. What am I talking about here? Another rate request from Eversource. And again, this is not to really pillory Eversource or Avangrid or UI. It really isn't. When I bring this up, it is a reality of what we're doing here. It's a reality of the market in Connecticut. It's a reality that any best laid plans here are probably never going to change this. This version of the story from Channel 3, Eversource has filed a... And again, this is not to pound on Eversource. It really isn't. They can do what they want, then the state legislators and regulators will, you know, figure out what is fair and equitable, because they're going to get some sort of a rate increase. Eversource filing a request, in case you didn't see this, for a $727 million annual rate increase that would raise the average residential customer's monthly electric bill by 18%. So whatever you're paying now, figure 18% of that. Easy way to do it. If it's $100, that's $118. If it's $200, it's about $236, on and on and on. Those calculations coming from the Office of State Attorney General William Tong. Connecticut, of course, already pays some of the highest electric rates in the country. Depending upon what list you look at, we're number two, we're number three, or number four. We're still a good ways behind Hawaii, but we're getting there. Let's go, Connecticut. Go, Nutmeggers. Now, Eversource says this would be their first formal rate hike in 9 years. William Tong calling it tone deaf. He said storm-related costs from 2018 to 2025 are a factor in the higher-than-expected increase, and that without those costs figured in, it would be just an 11% increase. So 7% of the 18%, I guess Eversource and the state are saying, hey, we need to recoup storm-related cleanup costs. And then the other 11% are just they want more money. State regulators have already approved $933 million in storm-related costs, but they rejected more than $300 million in interest charges that Eversource wanted to pass on to the customers, to you folks there, many of whom pay Eversource on a monthly basis. When you open that envelope, if you're still getting a paper bill, or when you click on, hey, here's your bill from Eversource, and you sit there and you start to sob. Last month, it was almost reported that Eversource is seeking to keep 300,000 documents connected to the rate hike confidential. All right, listen, we can go into the minutiae of this, but here's my point. And I wonder if you folks have admitted, Paul, once again, you're right. Connecticut's got to buy out the electric utilities, the two major ones. They have to. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in years and years and years. But this is what I mean, kids. This is not going to end. And again, I don't have a look internally or externally at the books from UI and Avangrid, their parent company, or I don't have the books from Eversource. I don't. But these are the at least Eversource is a for-profit company. They've got to return some sort of a profit or a stock dividend to their shareholders. That's the number one fiduciary responsibility of a publicly traded company. So you can't blame Eversource for that, can you? I don't think so. Connecticut's got to eventually own its own power company. It has to. This can't go on. Because if it's bad enough for us now, what's it going to be like for our kids who live here? Or what's it going to be like for our kids, 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 grandkids, great-grandkids? What is that going to look like in 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 20, 30 years, when sadly most of us will be gone? Some of us still may be kicking around here, God willing, but the hits just keep on rolling. It's like an old radio phrase, the hits just keep on coming. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Connecticut, I'm sorry, it's my top 40 radio roots here. I mean, are we going to get serious about this? And I know I've had people who know much, 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 much more about this than I'll ever know, saying, Paul, for Connecticut to try and push Eversource aside and do something like a hostile takeover and appeal right to the shareholders and whatever is a gargantuan task, which has been done in some other areas. And again, let me say something. I have no animus toward Eversource or their CEO. I don't care what their CEO makes. I know what you're going to say. Well, Paul, you live in Wallingford. Well, come to Wallingford. Cheap electricity and help keep my taxes down. But is it time, finally, and I, you know, there would be a huge, huge, huge cash outlay if the state went to Eversource and said, you know what, we know you love Massachusetts and we know you operate in all these other states, but we thank you. We would like to operate our own power grid. We know we'd have to maybe hire some of you people, whatever. We get it. We understand it. But what are your thoughts here? That's our I put up a couple of questions of the day at facebook.com/voiceofct. But what do you think about this? Eversource, again, proposing an 18% rate increase. 7% would be storm cleanup costs. I guess the other 11% would be just general operational costs, dividends, you know, for ratepayer, for the shareholders. But Eversource wants an 18% rate increase. Is it time for the state to try and buy out the major electric utilities? Or at least buy out Eversource? Seriously. Is it time for Connecticut to run its own power grid? Other cities do it. Other states do it. I'm not looking to, for personal reasons, kick anyone or any company to the curb. I'm honestly not doing that. Honestly, I'm not. But another 18%, you have to ask yourself, kids, honestly. You have to ask yourself, when does this all end? Because you know what? I'm looking at it and I say, I don't think it does. And some of Fairfield County is, of course, United Illuminating Territory. Some of it is Eversource. The Eversource company, which used to, years ago, be Connecticut Light and Power, CL&P, Northeast Utilities, remember those days? They serve about 1.3 million customers in the state, both residential and commercial. UI, parented by Avangrid, I think they have about 400,000, a few hundred thousand in the state. And then you have municipalities like Groton, couple of areas of Norwalk, the Indian Casino areas, Wallingford, where I live, that still operate municipal power grids. They don't really generate power. You still got to buy the power. But those town and city entities are not paying shareholders. Nothing wrong with paying shareholders in a fiduciary responsibility. We all know that. But again, I got to ask you, kids, When does this end? When does this end? You know what the answer is? Trick question. It doesn't and it won't. So should the state, because if the state ever did this, it would cost billions of dollars in the short run, and then it could be sold in the long run as saying, well, you pay now so you don't have to pay me later. That whole thing, you can pay me now or you can pay me later, as garages and mechanics always say when you don't maintain your car properly. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. You tell me, what's on your mind on this? Eversource wants another rate increase, this one 18%. Is it time for Connecticut to try and buy out the major electric utilities? Yeah, it'll probably be a long, drawn-out process fraught with legalities. Both sides can lawyer up. It could take 50 or 60 years. But in the long run, do you think this makes any sense or not? You know, you at least have to threaten it, don't you? Although, if you do that, does Eversource, with their obvious army of legal representation, their in-house counsel, say, yeah, right. Yeah, go ahead. Nice try. Let's kick it off today with our friend Bill in Bridgeport. Bill, how are you? What's up? What's on your mind?
Hello, Paul. There's a generating plant still in Bridgeport. It's right next to Seaside Park at the mouth of the harbor.
Yeah.
Down the street from one they just tore down. It's not doing anything. There's four generators at Stevenson Dam up there in Monroe.
Hydropower, hydropower,
They have one there, that's running just so it keeps the water level at a certain level in Lake Zor. And if you go down a little bit, there's a small generator in Derby. There's a small dam in Derby where they have a little generator there also. And they're not using them for electricity.
And you know, Bill,
they're just waste.
Well, you know, Bill, and you bring up a good point, and thank you for that, Bill. We always get reminded of that, but is the state doing enough with maybe these little micro sites, these generators? Should there be a push for people to put, you know, the everybody loves roof-mounted, you know, home solar panels. What about little home windmill? You can buy them online. Now, I guess there's some aesthetics to it. Maybe some neighborhoods wouldn't like it, but it just seems to me, when it comes to situations exactly like this, everybody is in throw your arms up in the air mode and don't even look into this. In fact, the headline here on a Connecticut Mirror story from a month ago regarding this thing, it is a perfect encapsulation of how we think in this state. The major headline, the lead headline, the primary headline, Josh Elliott wants towns to be allowed to take over their utilities. Okay. And then the subhead, rising costs have sparked renewed interest in public power, but experts say significant barriers exist for governments to purchase private utilities. All right, but can we at least look into it? Or are we already in throw our arms up in the air mode? I mean, it's just, it is frustrating. And it's not like we say, well, wait a minute, we have all these nuclear plants we're going to build now and these fuel cells, so just give it a few years and you'll be turning less of your money over to UI or Avangrid or Eversource. And it just does not happen that way. Well, a hello and a howdy. How do at 5:17 or so on a midweek Wednesday, meaning it's time to check in with our buddy, our pal, Hearst Connecticut Media senior columnist and editor, Dan Haar is here. Mr. Haar, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. You guys are since 1926. My father is, too. He just turned 100.
Yeah.
Friday.
I saw that. God bless him. Tell him happy birthday from all of us here. The radio station his son hangs out on occasionally. Will you do that for us?
I don't know. He's more liberal than I am, though.
Right. Well, that's fine, Dan. I mean, You know, Dan, seriously, people, you know, it's one of the reasons I like doing this show, because as we all know, whether you're on the left or right, the amen chorus gets boring. It's the variety that makes the world go round. Am I right?
The amen chorus. We got that. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. You wrote a piece, and when I saw the picture, Dan, I started to laugh. Apparently, ICE has a media unit now. What's going on with that?
Well, what's going on is we don't know.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that at the June 4th ICE operation in Danbury, during which six immigrants were arrested, apparent immigrants were arrested, the ICE had three men, yeah, one carrying audio equipment, two shooting video on professional cameras, mm-hmm, wearing vests that said in large letters, media. And the cameramen had it on both the front and the back of their, yeah, vests. And so the question is this media? And well, certainly technically it's media,
yeah,
because media just means equipment. Mm-hmm. Media refers to technology. It's not what you and I do, right?
Yeah.
So it refers to the technology. So yes, it's media, but I think, and my column says, that this appears to be an example of fake media.
Mm-hmm.
The administration, ICE, purposefully confusing and creating chaos so that they can make people think that this is covered,
mm-hmm,
that these clips that they're making are covered. Now, it is being covered by an independent journalism outfit like yours or mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is possible that those fellows were embedded media, but one of them was wearing a mask, first,
yeah,
of all, so I can't imagine embedded media wearing a mask. Secondly, in an intimidating way, he was photographing, he was video recording,
yeah,
the witnesses, the people who were there to not protest, but to I guess you could just say document and
observe.
Yeah, I guess you call them observers. And he was going right up into their faces and shooting them, right? So is that something that an embedded in media would do? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Lastly, ICE can't say.
Nah, you're breaking up a little, Dan. Go ahead. You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Here. Their response was, we do not identify,
yeah,
people at the scene. And I responded and said, I don't need their identity. I just want to know who they are, what they are.
Yeah, you know, you wonder, Dan, when I saw the story in Reddit and I saw the photo there, I'm saying to myself, it's probably to intimidate some of the observers. And also, if those cameras are real and they're running, I think in a roundabout way, Dan Haar, it might actually benefit ICE and these people to say that here, we're actually documenting this on high-quality video. I don't know. That's just the way I think.
Yeah, but the question, they have a right to document.
Yeah.
What they don't have a right to do is say that they are media.
Yeah.
Because in the way you and I understand the word media, they are not media. And that's not a neutral problem. That's something that, you know, frankly, early and mid-20th century fascist regimes did.
Yeah, yes.
And the other guy that we don't mention. And again, I'm not comparing ICE to fascists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that conflating of what is propaganda and what is media is something that authoritarian governments do. It's not what you see, mm-hmm, in a free country.
Dan Haar, the guest, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, healthcare and maybe some statewide plans now being bandied about by some candidates and some maybe future candidates as well.
Healthcare is going to be expensive, and all three of the candidates who have ideas to make healthcare less expensive are, mm-hmm, I don't know, what's the word, tilting at windmills? I don't know. I don't see any of these plans working, to
exactly,
be blunt.
Exactly.
But what we have is one is too hot, one is too cold, and the other is right in the middle.
Yeah.
And so just if you want to go a minute to just the basic idea of each one, Fazio, the Republican, of course, supports the association health plans, mm-hmm, idea, which has bipartisan support.
Yeah.
The Democratic chair of the insurance committee supports it. And it's basically the idea of where you get less, you pay less, and you get less.
Sure.
And it's called associations because it's designed for business associations, mm-hmm. such as the Connecticut Association of Radio Stations and newspaper columnists.
Yeah.
and they can get their own health plan.
Yeah.
Right. But it doesn't meet with Obamacare specifications. It doesn't cover this, that, or the other thing. And all of these plans that we're going to talk about over the next 2 minutes, all of mm-hmm. them, everything depends on the details. Ideology falls by the wayside, wayside in the face of the details.
Yep.
Now we get to Lamont. He wants to do a so-called public-private Connecticut plan. This is not, strictly speaking, a public option with public health care. This is where you go to Cigna or Aetna or WellCare or what have you, United Healthcare, what have you, and they run a plan under your specification.
Mm-hmm.
And why anybody thinks that's better than the plans they already run, I don't know, but that's what they think, and God bless them. The surprise there is that Sean Scanlon, the controller who came up as the originally was on the insurance committee and then the finance committee in the legislature, strongly supported a true public option.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's four square behind Lamont.
Nah.
Now, again, all of this depends on the details. And then, of course, I don't want to leave out Josh Elliott. He wants a true public plan in which we presume the public would subsidize the plan. And that's more expensive and better coverage.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting as everybody jockeys on that. And finally, Dan, we know the governor is getting into high gear in his campaign, but also the commentary surrounding the late now Senator Lindsey Graham passing away tragically from a massive heart attack, heart condition that came on with him a couple of days ago. There certainly is a bipolar look, is there not, at the legacy and the meaning of the life of Mr. Graham, isn't it?
Generally, it falls along the lines of officials who knew him, such as the senators, Blumenthal especially,
mm-hmm.
and the members of the delegation, who speak respectfully of this great statesman who has had the ability to reach consensus on any number of things. And then you have the rank and file of Democrats who say that the guy was a schmageddy and he had every chance. He had every chance to do the right thing and he didn't do it. What's interesting is that he's being outed as a gay senator in death in a way that he wasn't in life. And the left is using that against him because he could have supported AIDS research and so forth much mm-hmm. more than he did. I don't know that a person who happens to be LGBT owes the public more support for something that that's a different question.
Sure.
But the point is that he may go down in history as the ultimate appeaser. And that's not what you want.
No, no. And again, half the country, one side, half the country, the other side, bipolar we are. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, senior editor and columnist. Dan, thank you. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll chat with you next week. Thank you, sir.
Great to be here.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Great to have you right here on WICC.